are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
Indeed, we are powered by SID Media. So sometimes it seems like Christians are saying that God holds one responsible for something that someone else did. We often blame Eve, for example, for how sin entered the earth. But is that so? You know, where did sin start? Where did sin originate? And why are we born sinners? Why are we born sinners? And how does salvation enter into this whole issue of sin? Are we then to understand that if there was no sin, there was not going to be salvation? Remember, we're speaking about all things salvation. So the number to dial once again is +27 7347 0352 0. The younger brother, Pastor Michael Mafor, is joining us on the line. Pastor Mafor, good morning. How are you?
I shall not speak. But anyway, good morning, our beloved listeners. How are you doing today? God bless you as we get into our session and our season of discussion.
How are you, Fundis?
I'm fine, Zanele. How are you today?
I am good. Were you listening to Big Brother there?
I always do, yes.
Okay, you understand the triune God, ne, and the mission.
Yes, I do.
I'm so happy. Today I'm so happy. I'm honored. You know, I've got two brothers, siblings. Bondis, please pray for us before we start.
Let us pray. Father, we thank you once again for the love that you have shown us. Thank you for giving us the opportunity to discuss. Thank you, my Father, for giving us the chance to take a look deeper into your word. We pray your Holy Spirit interprets it for us, for we ourselves know not how to interpret it. But Lord, may your Holy Spirit do that for us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen and amen. And point is, we're speaking about sin, sort of salvation. We've spoken about what salvation is, you know, why it matters and why Jesus had to be the one who actually gives us, you know, this salvation. But now we want to understand the issue of sin. I remember when we were speaking yesterday, you're like, why are we speaking about sin? I'm like, these things, they go together, you know. So what was the first sin, Mfundiswam? What was the first sin and how did sin actually enter earth? If I can ask that question.
Okay, before we go there, just confirm for me my line, because I struggle to hold the phone and open my Bible at the same time. So I want to know if we are okay or I make other means.
You're okay, but when I speak, I hear myself, but it's fine. We've gotten used to it.
No, the saints don't get to hear you. It's fine. anyway, so let's talk about all things salvation. Mm-hmm. Yes, your primary question is on salvation itself, but you have subdivided it into sin. So let's have the it's more like two questions in one, but I would like you to break it for me. Just come again on your question and let's break it down.
Let's break it here. What was the first sin? Let's start it there.
Okay. To say, I don't want to sound all theological or philosophical. I want to be as simple as possible. Remember, that's my mantra for this week.
Yeah.
There is nothing like the first sin. Let's correct the diction. Né?
Okay.
There's nothing like the first sin, because if you say the first, then that means that there is the second, then there is third, then there is and then up to the sin that probably the person, people are committing right now. But there is sin, singular, in itself,
okay,
right? Sin. So we will address sin as it is, or it should be, how did sin enter, or how do I put it? What is sin? Maybe, I don't know. Help me so that I coin it correctly for you as well.
So the context of the question, my pastor, is that some people, they say that Eve, I don't know why, but they say Eve is the foundation of it all. She's the one who made sin to enter. You understand? Saying that if she did not sin in the Garden of Eden, we wouldn't be where we are. So that is the foundation of it, saying that, is that really the thing? Is that what really, because of what happened in the Garden of Eden, is that where now we find ourselves, where we are?
True, because of what happened in the garden, we're finding ourselves where we are. That is very true. But sin didn't come through Eve. Mm-hmm. The Bible says in Romans chapter 5, which is a key text when it comes to sin and salvation. Mm-hmm. Romans chapter 5, reading verse 12, says, wherefore, as by one man, not one man, as in M-E-N, mm-hmm. not one as in M. Whatever else, but one man, that is masculine. So mm-hmm. the word man there is masculine in the Greek. So by one man, sin entered into the world. So mm-hmm. according to the Bible, let's do salvation 101. According to the Bible, sin entered by how many people?
One.
According to the Bible, not mm-hmm. according to what people are teaching. According to the Bible, sin entered by one man. Mm-hmm. Now, B part of the question, was that person male or female? Mm-hmm. Answer, the person was male, because the Bible says by one man, masculine, sin entered. It says, wherefore is by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. So what comes in is sin, entering into the world by one man, and the consequences of that particular sin being death. And so death passed upon all men. Men there, M-E-N. Okay? For that all have sinned. Right? So let's clarify what the text is saying. The text is saying, at the very beginning, at the very foundation, sin was wherever it was. Okay? So which means there is somebody or there is a being that was harboring sin in itself. That being brought that sin. It was more like a virus where you infect. Planet Earth was infected by sin. Okay? And so sin, being the virus here, affected men. But it came just like COVID in South Africa, confirmed by the first two guys that went for holiday in March. Mm. I remember people saying, who goes on holiday in March in Europe? And they came back with COVID. And so it started as one case, two case, but now two cases. And then later there were three, then four, until there were thousands and people started dying. Now, so the issue of sin now, we are saying, to come back to you, what was the first sin? Let's understand how sin came in. It says by one man. Mm-hmm. Secondly, or point number two, what is sin mm-hmm. according to the Bible? A sin is the transgression of the law, right? Mm-hmm. So we need to understand here that sin that we're talking about here, it is the transgression of the law, okay? Mm-hmm. So if sin is the transgression of the law, then... which means in the beginning, there was the law mm-hmm. and that particular law, which was transgressed.
Okay.
Follow me?
Yeah.
That transgression of that particular law led to sin, which led to death. Mm. Okay. Or which then even in our language leads to the death. So we are dying today because, pardon me, there's a car that is just next to me that is making, okay.
That's no, okay.
Okay. Okay, so I want to try and simplify this. So we have got sin. What is sin? Sin, according to the Bible, is the transgression of the law, right? Transgression of the law. If it is the transgression of the law, which law then was transgressed and by who? Because if we are to understand the origin of sin in itself and how it entered and the consequences of sin, which is death, and how it entered, we have to go back to the very foundation of how these things happened. And we should exonerate Eve because sin never came through Eve. That is not true. Mm. The Bible says sin came through by one man. Okay? Mm-hmm. It came through... by one man. How did this whole thing come up? Now, maybe we need to quantify what we're talking about. First John 3, verse 4-6 tells us that for whosoever committed sin transgresseth also the law. For sin is the transgression of the law. Okay, so that is sin. So we have a definition of what sin is. Sin is the transgression of the law. We have a definition of what salvation is. Salvation is when one is saved or is preserved or is taken away from harm. What harm? Which is death. What is death? Death is a consequence of sin. What is sin? Sin is the transgression of the law.
Mm.
Then the question is, which law and when was it transgressed? And by who?
Mm.
Are you following my cycle? Maybe it's confusing you as well.
Today you are clear, Kundis.
I might not clear in any other day, Wena. Anyway, so let's repeat that cycle quickly. I know we don't have time. Let's repeat it quickly. We are saying, what was the first sin, or where or who committed the first sin? And I'm saying, let's understand what sin is.
Yes.
Sin is the transgression of the law. How do we know that? First John chapter 3, verse 4 to 6, which says, whosoever committed sin transgresseth also the law. Okay? So now we are being introduced to law, right? So we know that if sin is the transgression of the law or the breaking of the law, the word transgression there, the breaking of the law, the question then is, what law was transgressed, or which law was transgressed, and it was transgressed by who? But remember, Romans 5:12 told us that, wherefore, as by one man sin entered. So whoever transgressed the law, it was a man,
okay,
and not a woman,
okay,
according to the Bible, right?
Mm.
Not according to the descriptions of events. See, the Bible is always divided into two, and I always say this, the verses are either descriptive or prescriptive.
Yes.
Okay, so when you read and understand that this is a descriptive verse, it's describing what happened, and this is a prescriptive verse, it's prescribing, it's telling us what we should know. So the story of Adam and Eve is simply a descriptive story. But what we find in the New Testament, it's a prescriptive that defines to us what things are and what we should do. So having you read the story of Adam and Eve, and then you conclude, it was Eve, Pella, guys, it was Eve, and then we blame, the whole nation blames Eve, that is a misinterpretation of biblical texts. And we need to be very careful how we interpret these things so that we may understand. Now let's explain, because I think the proper understanding of the issue between Adam and Eve will help us understand, many of us, how salvation works. Because I assume that there are so many people that think that they are saved, yet they are not saved.
No.
Let me break it down a little. What I'm saying, you see, in order for you to be saved, you must confess your sins. That's what the Bible says. You must confess your sins so that God can do two things. He can forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. 1 John chapter 1, verse 8 and 9. If we say we have not sinned, we lie, and the truth is not in us. Verse 9. But if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So salvation requires two things: to be forgiven and to be cleansed. Okay? In order for you to be forgiven and to be cleansed, is for you to acknowledge that sin has marred you, and you confess the sin. You don't describe the sin. You don't explain the sin. You confess it. Lord, help me. There are many things that are coming into my mind right now, and I know my disease. So here's the thing. We need to understand these simple definitions so that we can understand salvation. Then when you say, there are many people who stand there and they say, how many are saved? They say, we are saved. But if you ask them, really, 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 are you saved? Then you discover that they don't even know what salvation is and what they are saved from, if they are saved. And hence, at the end of the day, the devil keeps us ignorant. And if we are ignorant, we then cannot be forgiven, because our sins have not been confessed, because we don't know how to confess the sins, because we don't know how we committed the sins themselves and how salvation works. And many remain unsaved and may not feel the power of salvation or experience it, because they don't know how this whole thing works. How do you confess your sins? How are you forgiven for something that you don't even understand in the first place? So let's quickly, with the few minutes we have, let's quickly explain this. So we have got the law, which is perfect, which is righteous, which is just, right? So so already what we have there is something that is already set apart, that is already put on the side, and this thing is called the law. You can't separate this thing. It's very important. Okay, Jesus actually says there is not till heaven and earth pass away, but there is no single iota of the law of the word of God that will pass away. The law is forever, it lasts forever. So what is this law, and why does it last forever? You understand? We need to understand what this is. Now, in order for us to understand this, we have to go back to Romans, in the book of Romans. Romans chapter 7. What does Romans chapter 7, verse 7 say? It says, what shall we say then? I'm reading from the King James Version. Pardon me. It says, what shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. No, I had not known sin, but by the law. For I had not known lust, except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. So whatever the law says, it embodies the statement, thou shalt not covet. So we have to go back in the Bible, Genesis to Revelation. Of the many laws that are given, which...
Pundis, come back. Pundis, he was on a roll. Yes, welcome back, Pastor, what did you do to your network? Like, no. Okay, let me call him back. Let me call Pastor there. You know, he was... I know him. When he starts being on a roll, he is on a roll. So let's call the pastor back. I don't know. He might have moved. So let's get him back there so that we can, you know, he can continue that. Remember, you can dial us on +27 7934 70 3520. Speaking about all things salvation and also understanding the whole issue of sin. You know, how the sin and salvation connect. How do the two, in fact, actually work together, right? Let me see. I think Pastor has that other number. Let me try call him on that other number so that we can, in fact, speak to Mfu so that he can wrap up that point there that he was saying so that we can go to the other one. I hope this one number is also on, we can call it correctly, but let me know on +27 7034 70 3520. That number again is +27 7034 70 3520. So that we can speak about all things, we're speaking about all things sin here. So let us know on that number that we have shared with you so that we can see, we will say, okay, fine, how does sin, in fact, actually work? How does sin connect with salvation, right? So we're trying to get hold of our pastor here. We're trying to get hold of Pastor Mforo so that we can speak to him about this issue here. That number again is +27 7034 70 3520. That number again is +27 7034 70 3520. So let me try him again. That one, where we're speaking very clearly, so he has decided to drop us. Maybe it's a data issue. Yeah, but then let's get him back because it's very NB, you know, these things that he is, in fact, speaking about here so that we can understand, you know, the issue of the law. Hey, the context that we bring you here is AWR whenever we're speaking about such matters. I love it. So let's see. Maybe Mpo is going to come back so that he can very clarify that, because the other one that I personally, in fact, want to hear is, how are we born sinners? You know, how are we born sinners? Singenapi, because we are. Pastor Mforo, hi, welcome back.
Hello, thank you very much. I'm sorry for that. I had forgotten to put on Do Not Disturb.
Oh, no, it's okay, Pastor. We will continue here.
Someone is trying to call me. I don't know whoever they are.
No, it's okay. So you were speaking about the law. I think you were mentioning something about David and the law. I forgot where you were, but you were somewhere there. But as you finish that point, Pastor, because our time is going to run out quickly, I also want you to touch on, how are we born sinners? You know, earlier you mentioned that we must confess the sins. Even if we don't say, Father, please forgive me, I have stolen sugar. But Father, forgive me, for I have stolen. Right? We are confessing the sin, not into in details. But why are we born sinners? What does a child have to confess?
Yes, I was getting to that. I was simply explaining very simple biblical terms. And I said, let me see if I can do this very quickly. Number one, I said there is a law. I said there is sin. What is sin? And we said sin is the transgression of the law. And we said, what is the law? We need to know what that law is. And we said, the law, according to Romans 7, verse 7, says that I would not have known sin except the law said, thou shalt not covet. And we said, if we go to the book of, from the whole Bible, which
which laws embody, of all the statements and rules and regulations stated in the Bible, which one embodies the statement thou shalt not covet? And the answer is the Ten Commandments, Deuteronomy chapter 5 mm-hmm. and Exodus chapter 20. And this is where we find the Ten Commandments. So the Ten Commandments, they state the statement thou shalt not covet. So the Ten Commandments as a whole, because James says if you transgress one commandment, you are guilty of all. So here in the description that we have the law as a whole. Mm. And this law as a whole is the one that was transgressed. So who transgressed it? The Bible says that it was by one man, according to Romans chapter 5. Mm. But wait a minute. How did that one man transgress that law? The Bible tells us what happened in the Genesis account. Mm-hmm. And then while answering that, I also want to answer these things. What did this man do to transgress the law that says you shall not have any other gods besides you? You shall not make any graven images. You shall not take the name of the Lord in vain. You shall remember to keep the Sabbath day holy. Honor your father and your mother. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not lie. Thou shalt not be jealous. And then it says thou shalt not covet. So these 10 laws, how did Adam transgress these laws? Because we don't see him in the garden transgressing any of that at face value. Do you understand what I'm saying? Mm. He didn't have a father and mother to honor. He didn't break the Sabbath. We don't hear any of those statements. We don't hear him lying. Do you get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So how did he transgress the law? Now, in order for you to understand that, you must understand what the law is in description, what the Bible describes the law is. Remember Matthew. In Matthew, the disciples came and they asked him, even the Pharisees, rather, they came and asked Jesus in Matthew 22, reading from verse 34 to 40. They asked him, which one is the greatest law?
Yes.
Remember that?
Yes.
They asked him, Master, tell us, what is the greatest law? And Jesus says, the greatest law says, thou shalt love your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. And then says, this is the first and the greatest commandment. And then he says, second is like unto others, you shall love your neighbor in men. And then, but where is the Ten Commandments here when he's giving those? Because those two testaments are not found in the Ten Commandments. But when you look closely, you will discover it is a summary of the Ten Commandments. Mm. When you say thou shalt love your God with all your heart, that is the first four commandments.
Uh-huh.
If they address you and God. And then the last six commandments, they address you and your neighbor.
Mm-hmm.
So the first address you loving God. And the last six, they address you loving your neighbor.
Mm.
So the whole issue of the law is all about love. Mm. So then what is love? Here is the last statement that is thrown. The Bible says that in the book of 1 John, chapter 4, reading, going down verse 5, it says there, he that loveth not, knoweth not God, because God is love.
Mm.
So all the commandments, which are a summary of what love is, because if you love someone, you won't lie, you won't cheat, you won't kill them, you won't murder them, you won't do all those things. So if the Ten Commandments are a summary of love, they are a summary of whose love? The answer is very simple. They are a summary of the character of God, because God is love.
Mm.
So all the ten, they summarize who God is in nature, and God is love. He is all ten. So how then did Adam transgress that? See, Adam was tested on the issue of love.
Okay.
Because when sin came, the devil came on the issue of love, not necessarily on the issue of the tree. Leave the tree alone. It has got more problem. That's why I said to you the other day, the tree was placed there as a necessary measure for Adam to exercise his fullness being created in the image of God, the power to make a choice, which he did. When he was found wanting, what did he do? He learned that Eve had eaten the tree. For Eve, when she ate the tree, Eve ate the tree after temptation.
Mm.
Eve was tried and Eve was tested by the devil.
Mm.
Eve did not make a cognitive decision to sin. Mm. Eve was deceived. That's what Timothy tells us. If we go to Timothy, it tells us that Eve, the woman, was deceived, but not the man. So how was he deceived? Eve was told, did God say this? Did God do that? Did God do that? And then she was confused. She was deceived. And by the way, God did not talk to Eve. God talked to Adam. And so when Eve took the tree and she ate the tree, sin did not come in. Why? Because Eve had not made a cognitive decision to transgress the law. But she was tempted and she was deceived. And the Bible says the character of God is like this. I'm going to explain something very deep here. God says, in the days of your ignorance, I winked at. So which means even if you sin, but if you sin out of ignorance, without knowing, God judges you according to the light that you have received. Okay? And so in this particular case, she takes the fruits. She goes to them with Adam. And Adam says, Eve, what have you done? And Eve takes the fruits, gives them to Adam. And then Adam now looks at Eve and looks at the fruits. Adam then understands and he knows that Eve is going to die because she has eaten the tree. And God said, if you eat the tree, you will die. And so Adam has to make a decision of love. Does he love God with all his mind and with all his heart? Or does he love Eve? What is he going to do? Is he going to love God or is he going to love Eve? And Adam did the sin that most men will always do. Adam fell for Eve. And Adam decided to eat the tree so that he can die together with Eve. So that cognitive decision of eating the tree, that decision of loving Eve more than God, that was the sin. That was the breaking of or the transgression of the law. For Adam loved God with his heart, with his mind, with everything. But Adam loved Eve with his heart, with his mind, more than he loved God. By so doing, then the Bible says sin entered by one man. You understand? Hence, that's why it is instructed for men to love. Okay, that's another story for another day. But here's the thing. So when Adam and Eve sinned, what did they? Can I read one last verse and then it will answer your last question. So when Adam and Eve had eaten the tree, we know the story what happened. But Genesis chapter 5 says something that is interesting. Remember, in Genesis 1 verse 26, God had created man in His image. Do you remember that? He created him in His likeness. But now, when Adam had eaten the tree, the Bible says, in Genesis chapter 5, it says, verse 1, this is the book of the generations of Adam. In the day that God created man, in the likeness of God, made he him. And we say the likeness of God is the mind of God, right? Verse 2, male and female created he them and blessed them and called their name Adam in the day when they were created. That means Adam and Eve were known as Adam and Adam, not Adam and Eve. Anyway, Eve came after the sin in chapter 3. Verse 3, and Adam, listen to this, verse 3, it's the key verse. And Adam lived 130 years and begat a son in his own likeness after his image, not in the image of God, not in the likeness of God. Why? What had happened? Adam had a new likeness, which was not the one that God created him with. You see that? What was the likeness of Adam? Adam now was a sinner. His propensities were inclined to sin. So whoever he was going to give birth to, they were going to be like him. And the Bible says, and Adam lived that 130 years and begat a son in his own likeness and after his image and called his name Seth. So everything else that follows Adam was now in the propensities that are inclined to sin. And the Bible then says in Romans, for all men have sinned. For in Adam, Adam brought in the sin. And the Bible tells us in Romans 5, where we started, by one man, sin came. And by one man, the last Adam, sin is removed. Goodness. Any question?
No. We'll talk. We have a Bible perspective lined up, me and you, but I'm looking at our time, you know. But we'll talk, Pastor. Thank you for today. You've not confused me. You've shocked me. But we will talk. Thank you for today, my Pastor. Short prayer there for us as we close.
Thank you, God, for helping us understand your word. May your Holy Spirit interpret it for us in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen and amen. Thank you, Pastor.
Thank you. you. God bless.
You are tuned into Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.